I do that, will I get back to my daughter?
Body kicks on rampage with idiot theories. Run for your lives.
What would really help me is for us to become friends. You used me. Just let you use whoever you need for whatever you happen to want.
Now then, Bollinger knickers, you're gonna kiss me or punch me.
What do you do, Jean? Last few seconds on Earth. Anything you want, right now. What would you do? Say.
So what are you? See, you're a D-cup.
I am so hot.
Oh, dear Lord, if this is a test, I fear I may fail.
Jean.
I know.
Time of death is between midnight and half past. Most of the injuries happened several hours before. Arcs around the wrists and ankles, obviously he'd been tied up at some point before he died. He seemed to have mislaid the smelling salts. It's part of the job, love. Name's Anthony Grange, 17.
No, it's not that. It's just stay here.
Alex looks unsteady on her feet as she stands at the side of a corpse in the morgue. She sways, having a flashback to the bullet flying towards her head. Images flash before her, and the Pierrot appears in the next room. He pulls back a sheet covering a body, revealing it to be Alex, dead, with a bullet hole in her head.
I am not going to die.
Her eyes open, then the Pierrot covers her up.
I'm coming home to you, Molly.
Dehydrate.
What's the background?
He's the reason we're going after Simon Neary. Amongst his other business interests, Neary runs one of the biggest vice rings this side of the river. Anthony was one of his boys.
Well, at least he was until he got on the wrong side of him.
What have we got on him?
Nothing yet, but I know he did it.
Oh. Well, let's just hang him now, shall we?
Gov. Gov. Oh, Gov. Reach called. He's got us a location on Neary's meat.
Right, let's go catch the bastard in the act.
A smartly dressed man steps out of a lift.
Neary's just entered the building.
Neary walks up a staircase, passing Chris, who's disguised as a bellboy.
Target's on the plot. He's heading upstairs. Over.
Stay with him. Out.
I have eyeball on the target. Amina can see him. Over.
Just follow him, you dickhead.
Neary has disappeared.
Lost him. Over.
Alex steps into a corridor and casually glances at Neary, knocking on a door.
Eyeball fourth floor.
He steps into a room and Alex joins Jean and Ray in another, where they're trying to listen in on Neary.
What have you got?
Oh, it's not working.
What? I didn't touch it.
Batteries. The new batteries for the mic?
Oh, Chris has got them.
He what?
Well, see, I had the mic in the car.
I don't want to know why, I just want it to work. I want to know when to arrest the bastard the moment he exchanges cash for the drugs. How else are we going to know when to go in?
Chris comes in.
Batteries.
Right, there you go.
Hey.
What?
Can't hear anything.
Right, we're going to keep the door down.
If you go in too early, you'll lose him.
If we go in too late, we'll lose him. We're bloody coppers, not spies. Look at us. Tinker, tailor, soldier, twat.
Premature action could jeopardise the little intelligence that you've gathered.
Neary! Neary! Where's Neary? Where is he?
He's gone. He's gone.
We had him right here and we lost him.
What's going on? Who are you?
Angry cop is about to take out every ounce of their considerable frustration on your miserable little carcass.
Bloody hell.
Right, where are the drugs?
Well, what drugs? There are no drugs.
All right, diamonds, the forged notes, whatever it is Neary was buying. Where are they?
Must have bloody big ears.
It's the wrong orifice, Chris. It's a butt plug.
It goes up your arse.
My name is Alex Drake. I've just been shot and that bullet has taken me back to 1981. I may be 1 second away from life or 1 second away from death. All I know is that I have to keep fighting. Fight to live. Fight to see my daughter. Fight to get home.
BBC. Ashes to Ashes. starring Philip Glenister, Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Ashley Farrow and Matthew Graham, written by Mark Grieg. In an interview room.
Where are the drugs, forged notes, etc.?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do not try it on with me, son.
I'm not.
So what were you doing in that room?
Having sex.
What, I nearly was a punter?
No.
I've had enough of this.
What's the nature of your relationship with Simon Neary, Mr. Johnston?
He's my boyfriend.
Your boyfriend? Dear God. He must be in on the deal somehow.
Let's face it, there was no deal. All they exchanged were bodily fluids.
Your moral earnings, get him on that.
No money exchanged hands. It was a perfectly innocent encounter.
Well, it's the first time I've heard shit stabbing called innocent.
Oh, God. Look, I'm really sorry. That kind of behaviour from the police officer is completely unacceptable.
Don't tell me you're surprised.
No. No, I'm not. I walk with dinosaurs. Do you fancy a coffee? I could do with a break from the world of Tyrannosaurus Hunt.
I don't think so.
All right, well, maybe another time, I'll see you out.
What? That bloke you brought in?
Yeah.
Really? What a shame. All the best looking men are, I suppose.
What? He's nearly a puff too, then.
A fairy, a queen, a fudge packing punts.
But he's as hard as nails.
Ronnie Clay's a bum boy.
One of the crazies, an arse bandit. I thought they boxed.
One, homosexuality is not something you can catch. Two, a preference for the male form does not indicate which sporting activity you prefer. And three, have you ever wondered why the Inuits have so many words for snow?
Eskimos?
It's because it's important to them. Why is Neary's sexuality so important to you?
You know, not so long ago, every woofter in the world was breaking the law.
They have sex genes, sweaty, muscular male sex. Just get used to it. Now, can we concentrate, please, on the crimes he commits and not whose cock he sucks?
Did you just say?
Yes, Chris, I did.
Whether I like what Simon Neary gets up to behind closed doors, preferably padlocked, doesn't stop him from being a murdering bastard. If anybody deserved to rot in hell, it's him.
Well, then let's make a good case. What happened to your red-hot lead? Your top snout, the one that you said would smash Simon Neary's poxy crime ring once and for all?
Good bloody question.
Jeans with his snout.
Reach, you maggot. I gave you a fiver for solid information, and you give me a suitcase full of dildos.
Dope?
Dildos, the biggest of which I will ram so far up your arse it'll give your tonsils a treat if you don't give me something better.
Dope, I heard. Or smack. Or notes. Forged drafts. I don't know, Mr. Runt. I heard something big. Large. Something major, that's what I heard.
Do you know what I heard? I heard that your conviction for possession, the one that oh so conveniently disappeared, is about to miraculously reappear.
You wouldn't.
Give me a sardine sandwich and call me the Copper Christ.
You can't. Can he?
I don't think he'll be taking my opinion into consideration.
I can't. I shouldn't even be. All right. Neary's got a big shipment coming in. He's been talking about it for weeks.
Shipment of what?
I don't know.
Thank you and good night.
No, please, wait. I can't push it too far. You know what he's like.
Jean holds up some money.
He wants me as a driver for a meet later today.
When? Fiver.
The thing is, see, Marie won't let me see the kids. She said, I've got to go call. I can't turn up dressed like this, can I? I need a suit, something nice. So if you could see your way...
A fiver, and I don't knee you in the bollocks. Bargain.
2 o'clock.
Where? One step
forward! Jean kicks open a door, and he and Alex run out onto a large expanse of flat roof. They reach a ladder and Jean stops, catching his breath and waiting for Alex to join him.
What?
Well, you proved you're quicker climbing than me.
and more subtle. Firm with the peachy ripeness. That's just begging for a good old air.
Shut up.
The problem is you can't take a compliment. That's one of your problems.
I see Neary. Who's the dealer?
No idea. Not one of Neary's usual contacts. Here come the sweeties. Wherever they are.
Alex takes photographs of Neary trying out a handgun in a multi-story car park.
My God, this is about guns. Shit! We've got to get to that dealer.
Jean and Alex take off across the rooftop. In the car park, Neary puts the handgun back into its mould in the dealer's metal suitcase. The two men shake hands, and Neary heads over to his two henchmen, who've been standing guard. The dealer goes off in the other direction. As Jean and Alex hurry down a staircase, the dealer is driving his expensive motor down through the multiple levels of the car park. Jean and Alex climb into his red coupe and speed off in pursuit. The two cars hurtle out of the car park exit and set off in different directions. Jean starts after one of them, but Alex pulls on the handbrake.
What the bloody hell are you doing?
Forget Neary, you follow the gun dealer!
Jean rapidly reverses and sets off in the other direction, the sporty red model swerving and screeching across the road.
Left, left.
What?
Left, left turn. Turn left.
What do you mean, left, left?
I mean, he turned left.
You don't need to tell me twice.
Well, I just thought for clarity, I should say go left. Well, not here.
Make your bloody mind up, woman.
Now you've lost him.
What do you mean, I've lost him? You do realise we're back where we bloody started.
You follow the guns. That's what you do. That's the rule.
Come on, let Neary off the hook for the second bloody time.
Guns are at the root of the public protection issue.
You think you might be ever so slightly overreacting?
No, I don't.
It's one little shooter.
That's all it takes. Don't you see one little shooter? It's killing me. Calm, don't calm. Stop the guns. I stop the bullets. Stop the bullets. And I wake up. Wake up. And I see you. Please.
A police car drives past headquarters. In the office, Chris and Shaz are about to kiss when Alex comes in.
Boss? Mum, I've put out the gun dealer's number plate, but his face is not ringing any bells.
I want everything you've got on Simon Neary. Criminal records, bank records, every single piece of paper you can find. And then I want the same again on everyone he knows.
Right, that might be a bit tricky.
Now, Chris.
Shaz has been feeling Chris's bum and has been having to keep his crotch covered the whole time Alex has been talking to him. They turn to each other and share a look. Alex is studiously making her way through a pile of case files. Shaz brings in a stack more and presents them to Chris, who rolls his eyes, then places them on the desk between him and Alex. Chris is looking bored to tears as Alex scrutinizes a computer printout. Ray appears and knocks a football against the doorframe. He taps his watch and Chris gives Alex a hopeful smile. She waves her finger at him, and Ray heads off, leaving Chris looking peeved. More time passes, and Chris has fallen asleep. Alice looks at him disapprovingly, then throws a bar of chocolate at him to wake him up. He starts, bleary-eyed, and eats the chocolate. Now with the rest of the team, she turns over a sheet of paper on a flip chart.
Okay.
A diagram of footy match positions.
Right, Chris.
Oh, here we go.
Simon Neary. He's fines for possession and one suspended sentence. Twice prosecuted for GBH, twice acquitted due to lack of evidence.
Bloody judges. Couldn't recognise a villain if it burnt his house down, raped his wife and jumped up and down on her head right in front of his bloody stupid beaky face.
And juries.
Don't even get me started on juries.
Neary then starts to trade in forgeries, drugs and flesh. And he teams up with other criminals. Chris?
There's Sammy Baker, Derek Beatty and Razor McCann. Five murder trials between them and two convictions. Villains with psychopaths.
Sociologists? Bloody hell, if they start killing people, we are in trouble.
No, sociopathic tendencies.
Sociopathic.
Neary is ruthless, ambitious, and now he wants guns.
A gun?
Guns. What we saw was just a sample. One gun is not enough for Neary. More than money, he wants power. So, what's at stake? Why does Neary want guns? Anyone? Open forum. OK, let's brainstorm it. Chris.
He wants to shoot people.
Who? Why? Don't you understand? This is where it starts.
What does?
It does.
If Neary has guns, his rivals need guns. The violence escalates. It spirals out of control.
He's not looking to start a bloody war.
No, but it becomes one. Once the genie is out of the bottle, we cannot put it back in.
He'd never fit.
Hey.
You might think it's bad now, but you have no idea what's coming. Crackheads armed with Uzis. Kids killed in the street, whoever happens to be in the line of fire. Our kids, our street. And if I can stop that now, if I can stop the guns, then I can stop the bullets, and maybe, just maybe, I can go home. Yes.
Is this you in your doolally, captain of the upper fifth way of telling us that Neary deserves to go down?
Yes.
Good.
Jean and Alex are with the snout.
Who's the dealer? When's he delivering the rest to Neary?
I don't know, I don't. If I'd known it was guns, I wouldn't even have been there. Neary only took me with him because Kosher Pete's in hospital. Gallbladder.
I should pull yours out with a bloody rusty hook.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lyman. I just... Look, I'm not part of Neary's thing anymore. I can't handle it. And I think he's onto me.
You've let me down.
How big is the shipment? Do you know how many guns are involved yet?
I don't. I really don't. Look, if you happen to have anything spare, I could really do with it.
Well, if you can afford a suit.
No. It's Mr. Hunt. He said I could, you know. Because the kids are not. I'm just going out to court now.
Okay. Well, good luck.
He gives her the thumbs up. At the station.
Let's face it, Viv. Wooden chops don't stand a chance.
Not with the mighty Shilton between the sticks.
Don't put money on it. I wouldn't want to rob you.
Mind you, you're quite handy left foot when you want to have.
No stamina, though. Can't hack a man's game.
Alex comes in.
I called into Paul, like you said. Potential international connections.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath for the garlic munchers. Couldn't hide the Hitler if he'd stolen their building in one of his panzers.
Same thing happened in World War II.
They came up with this. Nikolai Saris. He's been running guns for years.
Excellent. That is much more like it.
OK, boys, game on.
Where are you going?
Football.
Well, we've ID'd the gun runners. What about the car?
Plods are on it. Driving around London looking for a car Saris probably stole is not a constructive use of my time.
Oh, and football is. This is the first lead that we've got.
We've got a name and a face. I've got people looking for him. What more do you want me to do?
Oh, what about the gun? Do we even know what the make of the gun is yet?
Ray looks at the photograph.
Colt 1911.
Well, how do you know? I thought you wanted to take Simon Neary down.
I do, and we will. After the match.
Reeks hasn't given us anything. We need a new informant. If you won't help me, I will do this on my own. We have to stop the guns!
Simon's not a bad guy.
You think so?
I know so.
Do you love him?
Just because we're both men Doesn't mean we can't love each other.
No, I didn't.
I trust him. Trust me. He cares for me. He makes me feel safe. We have a good time. If that's not love, I don't know what is. And the sex is great.
As long as you use protection.
Sound like my dad.
Does he know you're gay? What about your mum?
I haven't seen mum and dad for over a year.
Why?
Why? Because it's difficult, okay?
No, what's difficult is not having a relationship with your parents. That's difficult. Being alone, that's hard.
Well, I'm not alone. I've got Simon.
No. Now, I know that men can love each other. Men can have great relationships. And they can also have really bad ones.
What are you doing?
If you want to talk, or if Neri says anything.
Neri's boyfriend takes the piece of paper with Alex's number on and heads off. Alex and Jean are having a drink at Luigi's.
Marcus could be our best chance to get to Neri. I mean, who could be closer to him than his boyfriend?
No.
What's your objection? He's an informant like any other.
This is the way I work. I pay a snout fiver, he gives me information. Knows I'll look after him. That way we all know what's what. Him, I don't know.
What are you really scared of?
Being stuck in a small room and forced to listen to you prattle on until the end of time.
Marcus could get us Neri and the guns.
How do you know you can get him on side?
He's in denial about what Neri's really capable of. He thinks he's in love with him.
In love? They're two blokes, for God's sake. Two hairy, stinking, bloody great blokes.
Someone fell in love with you once.
More than once, and that was different. They were women. Get a waft of that. Man stink. So that doesn't moisten your gusset. Who's in denial now?
Here's another beer, Luigi.
Alex is sitting with Chaz.
The idea of what makes a man is so utterly, utterly wrong, isn't it?
I've always thought sexual characteristics are kind of misleading. Girls, boys, masculine, feminine. When it comes down to it, we're all a bit of both.
Of course, the other reason for your rampant homophobia could be that you're a bunch of pufters.
Alex's home phone rings.
Drake.
What?
Better get over here now.
A piece of wasteland dotted with wild flowers buzzes with the sound of bees and flies. The sound becomes more intense, reaching its peak where a body rests against prominent strips of barbed wire above a wall. It's Jean's snout. And he has a piece of cardboard with the word grass written on it, propped up just below his mouth.
Take him down.
All right, boys.
What about forensics?
Take him down, now.
Jean scowls at the body, then walks away.
Jean? I'm sorry, Jean. He was wearing your suit. Jean
strides over to the coupe and gets in without looking back. He speeds away from the curb and sets off through a labyrinth of small roads. Three men are crossing the road ahead, and Jean screeches to a halt in front of their car, blocking their path. Jean gets out with a look of steely determination in his eyes and strides towards the three men, with his tie flapping in the wind. A heavy moves round the back of the car, but Simon Neri stops him from taking further action.
Do I know you?
You will.
Copper.
I know you killed him.
Who's that then?
I'm going to finish you, Neri. I'm going to dig a deep, dark hole and I'm going to bury you in liquid shit.
I don't need things like witnesses, you know, evidence. It's not that easy to fit people up these
what
days.
What do I need to fit you up?
What are you, D.I.?
D.C.I.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bank on promotion next time you're in front of the board, detective.
Jean runs his key along the body of Neary's car.
Marked.
He gets back into the coupe. At the station.
Ballistics report, 9mm.
1911?
What do you think?
Witnesses?
None from the door to door, but me and Chris are going to go back, see what else we can find.
Jean storms in, and the office activity grinds to a halt as everyone watches him march into his office and lean over his chair, barely concealing his rage. He kicks out at a table, sending paperwork flying. Later, he's distractedly turning round a glass of scotch while resting his forehead on his hand. Alice looks over at him with curiosity, but keeps quiet. Chris pokes his head through the door.
You didn't get any prints?
Nothing at all.
No.
Fibers?
No.
No leads on Saris either. The gunrunner.
I don't give a toss about the guns. Reeks was a crook and a junkie, but at least he tried. And Neary's put one kid on a slab and left two others wondering why Daddy doesn't visit anymore. We've no forensics, no witnesses.
If Neary gets his hands on those guns, all hell will break loose. We need to move fast, and Marcus is all that we've got.
Will he help me bring Neary down?
I think so.
Right.
Jean downs his drink. Marcus is walking along with his hands in his coat pockets when Jean gets out of the coupe and heads over to him.
We want a word with you.
Alex gets out as well.
What do you really know about Simon Neary?
He's got a big dick.
My informant's got a bullet through the head. Why don't you try swallowing that?
Has he told you what he does for a living? He runs a protection racket. Loan sharks. He smuggles things.
What things?
Whatever the very worst of London scumbags want, your bum chum gets. Diamonds, furs, hash, speed, coke, smack. The gear your friendly neighbourhood dealer sells outside them school gates. Nice work.
Simon is part of that. He hurts people.
Doesn't hurt me.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah, he told me you do this. You try to fit people up. You need an arrest, and you don't like puss. That's the way it works, isn't it?
Jean gives Alex a pointed look as he turns away from Marcus.
Will you do me a favour?
Marcus looks unsure. Now he follows Alex into a morgue and over to a trolley. Alex nods, and the sheet covering Reeks' body is pulled back.
Harry Richardson. Reeks. You might have seen him around.
What happened to him?
Your boyfriend. Reeks worked for him. Didn't do very much with his life, but his kids loved him.
No. Someone went to this. Look. I don't know what you're trying to do to him, and I don't know why, but I don't believe any of this. Anyway.
Reeks is covered up again. Outside.
Leave me alone.
So you think he wouldn't do something like that because he's told you that he wouldn't? And he trusts you and you trust him, except he doesn't. He gets jealous, doesn't he? He's the jealous type.
Kind of because he loves me.
It's not about love, it's about possession.
You don't know him! How could you know what we're like together?
I know that you've thought about leaving him, but you're too scared because you're too scared of what he might do.
He wouldn't do anything to me.
He is paranoid and he's dangerous.
Leave me alone now, Alex.
A car pulls up in front of them with Neary at the wheel.
Hello there.
Hey.
Who's your friend?
Hey. We go way back. I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. And,
it's a flash name for a clip joint.
It was a bit more upmarket than that, wasn't it? Trust me.
Don't be cheeky.
It's probably out of your league.
Really, don't be cheeky. Listen, change of plan. I've got a lot on, things to do. I'm not going to make it this afternoon. Go straight to Nirvana. I'll meet you there.
What's that, a club? I'll come.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Meet me at 8, and that means 8. Wear the other shirt. It looks lovely in blue.
Bet it does.
Neary drives off.
See you at 8.
They go their separate ways. At the station.
I don't like it.
Well, we've established the cover. Marcus and I used to work the streets.
Did you?
No, that's the cover.
Shame. I fancied a punt.
Hang on. Now, this is worth getting straight. I'm imagining you imagining paying for sex with me in my imaginary role as an imaginary street whore.
You must have a filthy mind.
Absolute super, apparently. Now, look, OK, this is my op, my target, my risk.
You know, it'll take more than an imaginary sneaky peek at your arse to keep me sweet if this goes tits up.
Do you want to nail Neary?
No. I want to arrest him.
Chris and Ray are with Jean.
I updated the interest report on the gun dealer's car.
What about Reeks? Anyone been back to the estate?
We're just waiting for Wooden Tops to process their, bloody hell!
Alex is dressed like early Madonna.
What?
You're supposed to look like a top agency girl, not some cheap slag from the old Kent Road. You're supposed to be showing a little bit of class.
She nearly is.
I'd pay.
Alex gives Shaz a grateful smile. Then Jean comes over to her and gives her an appraising look as he circles round. He pulls off her dangling clip-on earrings, then scrutinises the sparkly gold clutch bag she's carrying.
No.
He straightens her up a bit.
Better.
Thank you.
Chris and Ray are putting on their jackets.
What are you doing?
Back up.
You do know where I'm going?
Well, I think we can handle a nightclub. Chris here will do his best John Travolta, while Raimondo and myself fight off the ladies.
Alex arches her eyebrows, then heads out with the team in tow. Alex descends the staircase of the club with a confident look on her face. Jean, Ray and Chris follow shortly after, laughing amongst themselves. Their faces drop when they look into the low-ceilinged room and realise it's full of men. Muscular men dance and others kiss. Alex looks at Jean, Chris and Ray. Jean puts on dark glasses.
Come on, quick, you go.
He pushes Ray and Chris back up the stairs. Alex puts a drink down on the bar and smiles as she looks around the club. She notices Neary sitting at a table and checking out the bum of a man in a checked blue shirt standing beside him. Alex slowly starts to cross the room, then spots Marcus standing near a cage containing a dancer. He looks completely unnerved by her arrival.
You shouldn't be here.
I said I'd come. Come on, just follow my lead and smile.
Alex tucks her arm into Marcus's as they head over to Neary's table. Marcus looks horribly uncomfortable.
On the dock. Must be love.
Must be.
They kiss passionately.
Well, you were right about the blue shirt.
Told you, didn't I?
I'd shag him if he'd let me.
Who wouldn't? So, what's your name, sweetheart?
Alex.
No, sweetheart. Suits you better.
Why? Because I'm so sweet?
No. Because that's what I'm going to call you.
Neary glowers menacingly at Alex, who diverts attention to a bottle of champagne.
So, are we going to drink this or what?
Marcus looks at Neri for permission. He nods laconically, and Marcus gets a glass and pours some of the bubbling golden liquid into it.
What are we celebrating?
Do you need a reason?
Well, doesn't everyone?
I just like the taste.
Me too.
Don't get used to it.
Cheers!
Later, Alex walks through the smoky club and joins Chris and Jean. Jean is still wearing the dark glasses.
I'm never gonna get... What the hell are they?
He knows my face.
What? Well, why did you come then?
To watch your bloody back and me own.
Neri's too smart. I'm never gonna get anything out of him about this deal.
Yeah, too much of the old buzzer work and not enough of the old...
Well, enough, they'll...
Well, I never thought that Neri was a one-man kind of a bloke myself, if you get my unsavoury drift.
No, I saw that. What did we think he's into, then, in a sexual sense?
I don't want to think about it.
Fetish stuff, leather, queens, boys, bears.
Bears? Bloody hell. I've seen a Dutch girl with a donkey, but I don't remember seeing a...
Not the Yogi Bear kind of bear. I mean, you know, like a big bloke, a man's man, a big hairy bloke.
Marcus is at the bar. Neri's on his own. What do we, What? What?
No way.
It's a great opportunity.
Who bloody for?
This is a dangerous situation. Now we need a man who knows how to handle himself in a tight spot.
Gov!
Neri is a hard bastard. He's a killer. Now I need somebody there that I can trust. Somebody who understands the risks of an undercover operation. Somebody who's reliable but quick thinking. A rock hard centre back. I need Dave Watson. Nothing drastic, just pick up what you can.
But what do I say? What do I do? I mean, Puff doesn't though. What did they do? I don't know.
Well, the man has a penis and the other man has a penis.
No. How do they act in that? How are they?
Are you free, Mr. Humphreys? I'm free.
Just be yourself.
How do you mean?
Just be yourself. He'll love it, I promise you.
Just watch your back.
Jean and Chris head off.
Push him.
Push what?
Flirt with him.
Look, the Gov said all I had to do was go and...
Listen, I understand that it's difficult, okay? And only somebody who is completely secure in their own sexuality could do this. Just treat him like he's a bird, you know? Treat him like you would a woman.
Ray approaches Neri, then sits down beside him, taking a glass of champagne and putting a hand on his knee.
Were you looking at me, or was it me who couldn't take my eyes off you?
Bloody hell. Going for it, you know.
Bloody hell.
Alex gets Marcus's attention.
Can I show you something?
Well, you can't show anything worse than what you've shown me already. And what you show me doesn't prove anything against Simon.
Yeah. And he loves you and you love him. And you can trust each other.
She shows him Ray and Neri flirting.
So what line of business are you in?
Look, now's not the time to talk about business, eh?
Neri whispers in Ray's ear. Chris watches open-mouthed and Jean is horrified. Ray's flirty smile disappears and he suddenly elbows Neri and knocks over the table. Ray floors a couple of bouncers and strides off. Marcus walks off as Alex tries to comfort him.
Can I get upstairs? Quick, you're gone.
That was a really shitty thing to do.
I think you deserve to know what he's really like. He doesn't have any loyalty to you. He doesn't love you.
Marcus walks away from the club.
Shit.
Alex joins Jean in his office.
Sending Rain undercover is one thing. Turning it into a twisted stunt is something completely bloody different.
Jealousy was the extra leverage we needed to get Marcus.
Marcus is a civvy.
Well, it was a risk I thought worth taking.
But not one you thought about sharing with your superior officer.
I believed it was the right thing to do.
You're playing with people's lives. Reitz is dead.
Okay, all right, so we didn't get as much useful information from last night's operation as I'd hoped.
Operation? You know, if you were a surgeon, I would be 6 feet under. I want Neary.
He hasn't had the main shipment yet. If we can find the guns, we might have a chance of getting the dealer and Neary.
Oh, great. Just one problem. We don't know when it is. Two problems. We don't know where it is. So in spite of Raimondo's dazzling turn as a macho Matahari, we are precisely nowhere.
Alex is on the phone at her desk.
Hello?
Marcus, it's Alex. Hi, I know you're angry, and I know that you're upset, and you've got every right and every reason to feel that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted you to know that I'm...
He hangs up. And she puts down her phone, looking frustrated. She holds a business card in her hand for Caroline Price, her mother. A memory of herself as a child carrying a red balloon. A tape is put into a car stereo, and her mother calls out to her before the car explodes.
Alex!
A burning number plate, and her mother's smiling face. Alex offers to pour Caroline a drink in Luigi's.
No, thanks. I probably shouldn't. I never used to. Long lunches were one of the perks when I started. I probably shouldn't. How can I help you? A bit of advice. I'm running an informant, and while I'm aware of the duty of care, I haven't made a formal risk assessment. I just wondered if that was necessary. Here. Now, in 1981.
Sounds like an excellent idea. But there's no formal arrangement required between police and their informants. It's more a moral issue. You are, after all, exploiting another human being's weakness for your own ends.
Like you did with me.
I suppose I did. Well, it's best to face the truth about these things.
Really? And what if the truth is about family? What if it's about parents and their children? And what if the truth is just too big to comprehend?
You're in some sort of trouble, Alex. Is there something you need to tell me?
In a way, God, I'm sorry. No, it's something I should deal with on my own. Cheers.
In her flat, Alex pours herself a whiskey. Molly is sleeping in a chair behind her.
I'm not a bad person. I just want to get back. That's all that matters, isn't it? Mummy.
When she looks behind her, Molly has gone. Then she sees the Piero's reflection in a mirror. She goes to answer the door.
Hi. Come in.
It's Marcus. He looks nervous and has his hands in his jeans pockets.
Can I get you...
No, I won't stay.
Alex looks at him expectantly.
I know he's not a good man. I know. But I didn't think it... I didn't want to know. He wants me to go with him to some... sort of big deal tomorrow.
What kind of deal?
It's a delivery.
Where?
I don't know.
Will you work with us? It's the right thing to do.
It's hard.
I know.
She puts her arms around him and he hugs her back, looking grateful for the comfort she's giving him.
Do you want me to give you a lift home?
Maybe not straight home.
Alex pulls up and parks near the curb on a residential road. She looks from side to side.
Which one's your parents?
Blue door.
Go in. Tell them.
I've left it too long.
Yeah, but it's not too late. We wouldn't be here if you didn't want to. Give them a chance to understand who you really are. If they don't take that chance, then that's their loss. But if you don't give it to them, then it's yours.
A man approaches the car.
Oh, no. Go, 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 go.
No,
it's my dad. Just go, go.
All right.
The two of them are with Jean at the station.
The wire? It's a risky bloody way.
Simon's going to call Marcus and tell him where to come.
Yeah, he says he's got something amazing to show me.
I do understand how dangerous this is.
Well, we need to know where the deal's happening. Well, we can't go in until we know that Saris, Neary and the guns are there. I mean, we need a wire to do that.
Neary has already taken out Reeks. He could do the same again. I am not going to lose another snout.
And your better idea is?
Jean relents and backs off. Chris gives Alex what looks like a large walkie-talkie.
Well, that's it. That's the wire.
Solid state.
Why don't you just get him a megaphone or some homing pigeons?
Never get him under his jacket.
Paul Daniels could.
Yeah, he'd like that.
Not a lot.
But he'd like it. For God's sake, keep that thing out of sight. Don't let him near you. He might be your boyfriend. If he thinks you betrayed him, he'll kill you.
Okay, feed us the location as soon as you have it.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll do it.
We can't go in until we know that the guns are there.
What's the word?
Angel.
Right, as soon as we hear it, we'll be straight in. What's the word?
Angel. As soon as I know he's got the guns.
Alex gives him an encouraging smile. Outside, Marcus hails a black cab and climbs in the back. The coupe is parked nearby.
I'm meeting him at Garside Workshop.
Chris, Garside Workshop.
Run our way, go.
Chris and Ray are in a small green car. The cab drives under a railway arch, with a coupe a short distance behind.
It just is fine.
Jean pulls up alongside Chris and Ray.
Our team's on its way.
We'll take the side door, you work your way round and take the back entrance.
Sounds like a job for Raimondo.
The two teams get out of their cars and go their separate ways. Jean and Alex head into a darkened warehouse. Marcus is trying out his wire.
Testing, testing. God, I hope you can hear this. Oh, wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Do you hear me? Come on, my
love. Hello there.
Oh. Didn't see you there.
Oh, you weren't meant to.
You said you had something to show me.
You seem tense,
Marcus. Something wrong?
No. No, it's just... What about that bloke you're meeting?
Oh, Saris isn't there yet.
Why don't you let me worry about him? Just get on with what you're good at. Come here. Oh, that's it.
What's he doing?
Well, I'm not going to demonstrate.
Oh, I'm going to run this city. I'm going to run it like an empire. Rod of iron. They won't know what's him.
How are you going to give it to him?
Oh, I'll do it.
Yeah, what are you going to do to him? Yeah. Like that bloke Reeks have found the estate.
shit.
What'd you do to him?
I hurt him. I hurt him bad.
What'd you do to him?
That bastard. The grass. I shot him. I put a bullet in his... I killed him.
Oh. Well, that's a confession.
That's really disgusting, but it's all we need. Let's get him out of there.
No, wait. We can't go in until we know that the guns are there.
Ray peeps through a hole in a sheet of corrugated iron.
That's a gun dealer. Shit! Where's Marcus? Go! Go now!
Go! Go now! Go!
Jean can't hear Ray.
Come on.
The dealer is dead.
Go! Can you hear? Go! The dealer's dead! Nearest killed him. Angel! Angel!
The team spring into action.
Angel! Angel! Angel!
Armed with guns, Jean and Alex race through the warehouse.
Angel!
Alex sees the Piero pointing a finger like a gun and flexing his thumb. The bullet, her bullet, flies towards her and she sways unsteadily on the spot. Marcus is standing over Neri's body. Blood spills and pools around him from a gunshot wound in his stomach. Marcus is still holding the gun.
Give me the gun, son. Give me the gun.
Alex feels for a pulse.
It's breathing.
It's okay. Good lad. It's okay. Okay.
I just want to shoot. Someone's going to kill me.
Neri is being put in the back of an ambulance.
You know, I had you down as a bit of a soft touch, Drake. You'd be quite a tough old bird when you want to be. Gives me the right horn.
Jean walks off, and a small smile plays across Alex's lips as she turns to speak to Marcus.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Alex pats him on the arm. She pulls up near Marcus's parents' house, and the two of them get out of the car.
Hey, just be yourself.
His mom opens the front door and stands for a moment in shock at the sight of her son. He gives her a hopeful grin, and a warm, loving smile spreads across her face. At the station, Jean opens a wooden chest and takes out one of several guns contained within it.
There you go, Raimondo. As I know how much you love to run your hands along the length of a barrel.
Marcus leaves his parents' house, arm in arm with Alex.
How do you feel?
Better.
As she hugs him, she notices two dark marks on his skin at the back of his neck.
What's that on your arm?
Just a rash.
Have you seen a doctor about it?
I'll get some cream.
Go to a doctor. Go to a doctor and... Just go to a doctor.
Never knew you were such a nag.
Terrible.
Never marry me.
Alex goes back to her car.
Night.
He heads back up the front path to his parents' house, and Alex watches him with a rueful expression. At Luigi's, Alex is drinking with Jean.
What am I doing here? Really? What is the point?
She sips her red wine.
To dress like a tart? Wiggle your ass in my direction? And fill my days with glimpses of the depths of your depraved mind? It's good enough for me, Bolly.
They both drink,